your God. That is why I encourage you to live like that when there's no trouble. So that if and when trouble surrounds our society, our earth, you will be the same as you have always been. All around you, the Bible says people will be so afraid that their hearts will fail them. It's normally called a heart attack. Their hearts will stop beating. That's how fearful it will be. The Matthew 24 says, for fear of the things coming on the earth, it will be so dreadful that people's hearts will stop working. So horrific. Because of the times. Because the devil has been flung down to earth and he knows his time is short. I've told you one of the ways I know those things have not been fulfilled. Because the devil is not on earth yet. When he comes, you will know. When Thanos came, didn't they know? When he's on earth, you will know. Things will be different. Spiritual wickedness is presently set in heavenly places. It is Revelation 12 that shows you when he's kicked out. So when spiritual wickedness in heavenly places moves to earthly places, the Bible says, woe to those who dwell on earth. That's why Jesus told us 2,000 years ago through the Holy Spirit and Paul, set your mind on things above, not on the earth. And the Bible warns you about those who love money. He said they set their minds on earthly things. All this my teaching, freedom from lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Oh, may you be able to receive wisdom and counsel while there's still opportunity. Because a day is coming, every choice you had, every rope the devil had on all those things on you, he will pull it. He will pull it. All I am doing, whatever else you think about my preaching, all I am doing is trying to help you. So that when the spiritual wickedness of heavenly places is operating in earthly places and looking for theirs, you can say like Jesus said, the prince of this world, not is coming. You know, Jesus said, is coming. I'm telling you, when that time comes, he has come. Jesus said, and he has nothing on me. That is why we must be sanctified and blameless. So as he shows up, there's nothing on him. There's nothing on you. Nothing. Say what? Which, if small demons that we are casting out from people are demanding, holding on due to physical, simple hearing. Simple, I mean, we're casting a demon out of someone one day. And I heard it, but you know, we struggle with this thing. This girl was wearing high waist jeans that reached like her belly, high up here, like this, multiple buttons like this. And I heard, but I struggled, you know. Finally, I told someone there, put your hands and see if she has waist beads. I've never done that before. And yours truly, they put their hand and see waist beads come out. As they pulled it, she started shrieking. If simple things like that can block demons from leaving, you're telling demon, come on. Demon say, I no go anywhere. Simply because there's physical. May he have nothing on you. The prince of this world is coming. These were the words of Jesus. So that your nonsense braggadocio. Nah, prince of this world is under my feet. Jesus, creator of heaven and earth, didn't talk like that. This is what your preachers have done to you. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible, Jude, 2 Peter 2. He said, even Michael, the archangel, in dragging for Moses' body. Why should Satan drag for Moses' body at all? He said, even, it's clear, even Michael, the archangel, not angel, arch messenger, high ranking, did not rail, did not speak disrespectfully to Satan. What do you want again? It not be New Testament today. Are you going to say it's Old Testament? In Jesus, we are... No! I've given you authority to trample upon snakes and scorpions and over all. The power of the enemy, the works of the enemy, the doings. Give me that passage, Luke 10. I have given you authority to trample upon snakes and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy. I am giving it to you. It didn't say I gave you power to trample upon Satan. Nothing will harm you. Why? Because I have given you authority. Snakes and scorpions. You don't read the Bible in this crazy way people read. I don't know why it is so hard to be humble. We equate foolish pride, childish pride, with boldness. Young people have it a lot. The older people that never grow out of certain things. No, as you've seen me, so no policeman can, is a lie. I know my rights. How many of you have had that thing subdued? You had the privilege. No, I don't mean from preaching. I mean from encounter, live. I mean, anyone here? Oh, none. None of you have had the pleasure or displeasure of, you know your rights. All those things you've been hearing, you're like, that's them. And then you had an encounter and your mind shifted. About 10 people. We don't have time of that. I've asked you what happened. You're much more humble, yes? Huh? You don't think how you used to think after the encounter. Answer now, if you raise your hand, say something. And you would not advise people to think how you used to think anymore, yes?
Yes.
It's after the encounter. I've seen lawyers. I was in court for one fellow that was in this church in trouble, and I went to court. I was there in the court session, you know, to see. He was in police custody, and they wanted to hear him in the magistrate court as to whether they'll move him to police detention or this thing. So I was there, as I sat there, you know. They arraigned a lawyer. What did they put a lawyer in the dock. Like he had been in police detention. I don't know which state he came from to do a case. I don't know how he spoke to the police. I don't know what happened. I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying it was happening. That was a lawyer, full lawyer, that maybe, I don't know if he shouted at the police. I don't know if he was in police station. I don't know what happened. But they charged him with disorderly behavior or misconduct or something. So they had arrested him. He stood there. He didn't say anything. There was no argument, because when you consider that you might be shirtless in boxers, sitting amongst criminals, your brain rewires. There's no ranting. There's no raving. Stood there quietly. They said, hereby sentence you to detention or a fine of... He agreed to the fine very fast. In a hurry. There's no sense of my rights. No right. You're just compliance. You're just... Yes, my Lord. Yes, my Lord. You don't say, but how are you doing this? Am I not a fellow? You're a lawyer. I'm a lawyer. You're on the bench. I'm at the bar. Why? There's none of that. Humility is total. All you're thinking about is escaping this terrible situation you have found yourself. That is all. I am saying your brain will rewire. When I was a young lawyer, when I was young, till you go to police station, your brain reworks. It's rewired. How many of you have ever had to go to a police station with a policeman? Sorry, with a lawyer, something. Maybe they arrested someone in your family, something. These are lawyers and all. I mean with a lawyer. Lawyer was there. Was he shouting, misbehaving? Your ideas you had when you were in school changed when you met life. Completely. Completely. You see that lawyer, when you see him laughing with the policeman, you're like, you thought you go there and say, what do you mean? The law says, none of that happens. There's a calmness. There's proper, there's a lot, too much calmness. You're like, what's this? I'm so disappointed. Don't be. It's like that everywhere. Don't be. Don't be disappointed. This life is full of disappointment. This life. I'm using that as an example of how you interact with heavenly beings. All this ignorance. Remember yesterday I talked about it's time to mature. Time for maturity. It's time for maturity. Stop thinking how you used to think. Don't be a child. Don't be a child. If you act like a child, I heard Rick Joyner say, he said that thank God that he childproofs his house, but that we have to grow up. And that's from an old, old message. I heard 20 years ago. Childproof. We have to grow up. Spiritual things are not how you think. You don't hear Jesus disparaging Satan. Why don't you pause? Devil is an idiot. You're not wise though. It tells you, why was it written that even Archangel Michael, who we see fighting with Satan and his angels, who at the least you can say is his mate, they tell you, they didn't say, well, in that story, Michael dragged with him. No, it tells you, even Michael did not disrespect. It tells you. Why is it written? Why was it written in the New Testament for you? You ignore it. Like we ignore what he says about money, vanity, like this habit. The Bible tells you that this is the perseverance of the saints, of those who obey his commandments. Those who do not obey his commandments are about to come into some very hot times. Why? Because the devil will use every law you break against. How do you think he was drowned with the body of Moses? He almost certainly was trying to claim that Moses was guilty of something. That's how Satan drags. This Job, is it not because you're protecting him? Oh, there's a hedge. You'd have denied you sins. And God said, let's see now. God knew he wouldn't deny him. Comes to Peter years later. So you not say, that's the old covenant. Jesus says, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you. But I kicked him out. Tell him, get out, get away from here. Get out of here. Get out. I tell him, get out. Who? My people, my right hand. You had the audacity. No, that's not what the Bible says. He said, I've prayed for you. And your faith will not cease. And Satan started seething. You're one of them. Terror came on him. Fear. Demons of fear. Doubt. Is he the one? What's happening here? How did they slap him like that? And he's not. What's happening here? I thought he was the one. Fear. Doubt. Unbelief. The devil hit you. Peter's own was psychological. You remember? Job's own was physical. Do you understand? The devil uses all kinds. Elijah's own was psychological and spiritual. When demons are punching you, terrifying you, these are the sufferings. These are the ways Satan comes against God's people. But God can protect you and deliver you in all of these things. Do you understand this? I want us to stand to our feet and pray. NIV says in Psalm 16, keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. Not around you. In you. I take refuge in you. Preserve me, O God. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good besides you. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I'm reading multiple translations, trying to show you. This is how you're able to have the boldness to say to God, I take refuge in you, keep me safe, preserve me. Because you had said, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Money is not the good thing. My beauty is not the good thing. All sorts of my job, academic qualification, none of that is a good thing. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Can you say that? I'm going to give you, for every prayer point, because we are going to pray a lot of prayer points in 30 minutes. So I'll give you a minute for a prayer. Let me advise you. Some of you struggle. Many times I watch you, I see, but I close my eyes most times. Unfortunately, sometimes I'm compelled to see. I see people that when they're about to wrap up the prayer, they start praying. I've told you it's a time for maturity. When the prayer point is mentioned, shut your eyes immediately if you're distracted, except you're sleepy. Then if you're sleepy, you don't shut your eyes. Some of you, that's what you do. You're sleepy and you shut your eyes and you're standing and swaying like a willow in the wind. All of this is immaturity that you must grow out of. Every instruction, you're sleepy, you're folding your hands. You've heard it for years. Don't fold your hands when you're sleepy. A little folding of the hands. Everything you have ever heard. Remember, you're brewing a cup. Watch what you mix. Learn to be obedient. Once is enough. Twice, you've been warned. Why a million times? You're sleepy. While we are praying, don't close your eyes. Don't look around. Don't keep your eyes open like this and you're distracted with people. Focus on a spot, at something. Look at the light. Keep your eye there and pray. Father God, I come. Simple things. Don't just do it here. Do it when you're back in your hostel, your room, your house. In every meeting. You shouldn't be reminded again. Learn to focus. When you focus and talk to God, listen to the message from the prayer school of prayer from 2, 3, 4 weeks ago. Listen to it. Not that it's new, but we forget easily. As I mentioned the prayer point, I'm giving you this preamble so that you will flow fast hereafter. Jump in immediately, or the prayer point will finish before you start. Pray with all your heart. Mean it. Move your body if you need to. I'm not saying you should, if you need to, but focus. See yourself before the Lord and tell him the things on your heart. The first thing I want you to tell the Lord is thank you for the love you have in talking to me, warning me, telling me these things, speaking to us at all. Father, we appreciate you. Thank you that we are amongst few who have heard the things we are hearing. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. Many righteous men and prophets have sought these things, but have not had the opportunity. We appreciate you. We thank you. Thank you so much, my King, Lord God, for the people of me and receiving these things. Thank you, Thank you, Lord God. I want to give you a minute to talk to God as to whether he's the only one that you trust in. Or if you have other things you're trusting in, some marriage, your trust is in, if I can be married, I'll be secure. That's disaster. You can trust in nothing apart from you. I have no good. I'm giving you a minute to, if you haven't made that decision, I'll suggest you say it to the Lord. He said, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Maybe this is your time to say this. If you have never said it to the Lord, if you have said it, repeat it. Tell him, you, no one else, nothing else, nothing else, no one else. Dear God, there's no one else.
Amen.
Therefore, verse 1, keep me safe, for it's in you I take refuge. Father, I come to you. It's in you I take refuge. I will not be afraid. Oh, it's in you I trust, oh God. Oh, in you I come. I come to you, God. I hide myself in you. You preserve me. Preserve me, oh God. Keep us in every season, in every time. Surround us with mercy. Cover us with grace. Keep us safe. Good God. Build the world around us now. Thank you, Lord. Keep us safe, Lord our God, for in you we take refuge. Amen. I say of the holy people who are in the land. Note, I say of the sanctified people. I say of the set apart people who are in the land. They are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. What do you say about people that are holy and righteous? Do you mock them? Do you look down on them? How do you esteem them? How do you consider them? Not just the ones in your congregation. In every place they exist. Are they your delight? Is your delight in the holy ones of the earth? When you come across a preacher that is preaching righteousness and holiness and purity and the fear of God, does it make your heart delight, or do you start looking for holes to poke in what they are saying? Because the hold of the world and Babylon and its system on you is so strong. So you actually do not like when you see people that challenge you. You look at their lives in their rooms, all that. Does your heart leap for joy like it did when Elizabeth saw Mary? Or is there a depression that seems to come on you? All those are signs. I want you to open your mouth and say, remember, whatsoever things he shall say when you pray, it shall be done for you. There are things you must begin to say, and it will begin to comfort. Why? Because it's in line with God's will. What are you saying of the holy people that are in the land? In your land. Not just servants of God. Your roommate, the person in your class, what do you say of them? This is what you're to open your mouth now and say. These are the holy ones, the noble ones, in whom is all my delight. These are the ones I delight in. From henceforth, it's them that when I'm in class, it's them I want to sit with and gist. That your attraction to lousy souls. You better be delivered of all that rubbish, or you end up with them. Talk to God. Father, I say of the holy ones, I say of the holy ones, they are all my delight. Wherever they are, whatever they've done, they are my delight. The ones in the scripture, Joseph, David, Jacob, Abraham, they are my delight. I will ponder on them. I will think on them. The ones around me, those who desire you daily, those who pursue you, those who live righteously in their dressing, in their speech, in their spending, in their actions, in their words. These are the ones I find delight in. The ones who separate themselves to the Lord. The ones who seek the Lord. The ones who pursue after righteousness. These are the ones I will seek after. These are the ones I'll find delight in. These are the ones, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. From now on, Lord God, we will find delight.
Amen.
In those who live righteous, live holy, live pure, live clean, and live as examples of believers.
Amen.
Those who dress right, speak right, act right. These are the ones I will delight in.
Amen.
I renounce all delight in the daughters of Babylon.
Amen.
I renounce all delight in sons of Belial.
Amen.
I renounce, say it with your mouth.
I renounce
delight in anyone.
Delight in anyone
who is not holy.
Who is not holy.
Amen.
Amen.
Verse 4 says, those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. This is scripture. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot, my allotment, my inheritance secure. Did you hear that? Same point. Not only you are my portion and my cup. The cups I drink is only the cup you give me. I will not drink Babylon's cup. So any cup God gives me, sometimes like he gave Jesus, it may be bitter. It's a bitter cup. But Lord, as long as it's from your hand. I want you to pray about running after other gods. I've spoken about that, of which money is at the top. Say, Lord God, I will not run after this. I don't want to suffer more and more. I renounce every desire to run after every other god. Mammon, be gone. Every spirit, every influence, everything that competes for the attention of the Almighty God, I reject you. I reject you. I will not run after you. I receive eyes to see your ways. I renounce the desire for your property. I will have no part in the things you bring in the name of Jesus. Make prokoseta talaga sibrodosa. Ebra talaga shita, vibra simdo bragisa tata ligo sota, ebra dila koya telaga satala ganda, inde braga sikum braga daga daga da, inde da sito lebo shindera ba, ekra ba sata kade gara ba, rapra ba sata liga do shindera de, ni proto sota grege de sata. Thank you, Lord. He says, Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Let me help you pray there. Watch. Let me help you pray there. What do you mean? What does he mean when he says, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places? I have surely a delightful inheritance. You see, it is because many have not seen this. That's why you run after money. That's why you run after the things you see. You run after the things you see because you have not seen these things. As long as you can't see this thing, you will run after the things you see. We walk by faith and not by sight. Why do people? That's why I question severely. I don't care how much the person claims to walk in the spirit. I don't trust any preacher, anyone that likes money. I don't trust you. I can't trust you. How can you see? You mean your delightful inheritance is money? It says the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. You mean when they measure line, when they measure inheritance, they throw a rope, the lines, they measure it out. Your own line fell on money. So does that mean Jesus? This our Lord, this Lord we claim to worship. You mean that what the Father measured out for Jesus was cash and property? How? Who can accuse our Lord of that? But he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He said in Psalm 2, the Lord said, ask of me and I'll give you the nations as an inheritance. And then Jesus tells us what an inheritance is. Something I preach on many times. He tells you if you're faithful in what I give you to do, I'll give you authority over 10 cities. You're faithful, I'll give you authority over 5. He promises you. Is it not clear that he's not talking about now? Is it not obvious? He said he goes into a far country, the nobleman, and when he returns, he makes his servants give account. Doesn't the scriptures tell you that every man will give account in the day of judgment? Doesn't the Bible tell you the timing of when we will give account? Jesus used that phrase over and over again. In the day of judgment, on the day of judgment, on the day of judgment. It is only after the day of judgment and giving account that there is now a reward and you are now allotted. Your inheritance is this. Your inheritance is this. Your inheritance is this. If you still don't understand, then Luke 14 says it clearly. He said, if you do these things I'm saying you should do, you will be rewarded in the age to come. His language is clear. And here you are teaching people to get all their rewards on this, in this age. Thereby disqualifying them, like Abraham told the rich man in the story of rich man Lazarus. He said, you have already enjoyed your good things, but Lazarus, evil things. But so now you are tormented and he is enjoying. Have you not seen or heard that mountains will be brought low and valleys will be exalted? How hard is it to understand that you have to choose when you want to enjoy? Why is the kingdom of God for the poor? Because it's a time of enjoyment and they have not been enjoying. Put all those stories together and have eyes to see. And I've told you how to be, in quotes, what people call rich, but also poor. Receive all you receive and dispense it. See yourself as a steward, as we saw, a dispenser of the thing. So even if you have a multi-million dollar business, it exists to dispense. I told you, that's how to stay poor and qualify to be exalted in the age to come. Not because you walk around life like a bum, having nothing, begging for, no, you should have your needs provided. But the point is that all the excess that comes goes out. These are the lines that have fallen to God's people in pleasant places, that you will rule and reign with Christ after enduring suffering with him in this age. He promises you, you will reign with him. I've told you that that reign will not be spiritual as far as I can see it, because the scriptures tell in Daniel chapter 7 that the kingdom was given to the holy ones, the saints of God. And that kingdom is obviously a physical kingdom, because the previous four governments or beasts that ruled over it were physical governments, though they were influenced by spiritual forces. Like the prince of Persia was the influence behind Persia. There are different spirits that come behind the scenes. In this instance, the Son of God will be the spiritual influence behind the stone kingdom, which will be the final kingdom that will rule the earth. This is the scripture. That is the pleasant place that the Lord has allotted you for an inheritance. It's a place at a certain time. If your heart does not resolve this and understand this, that it is not heaven in the sky, that it is the Lord ruling and reigning on earth. Revelation 5:10. He and they ruled on the earth for 1,000 years. I like to say that that's the first term. They rule. It's a physical rulership. It's the equivalent of what you call being in government today. That is the inheritance God is allotting for you. So ask yourself, do you really want to give up all of that possibility for chicken change today? This is the choice that you must make. You're about to pray and you're saying, I said I want to help you pray. God, reveal to me more clearly the boundary lines and the pleasant places and the inheritance you have kept for those who love you and fear. Ask God to show it to you, to put a revelation in you. As he has done for me, let him put this revelation in you so you can see the inheritance that he promises. Lord, show us, show us, show us. Make this real to us. Reveal this to our hearts. Reveal this to our minds. Reveal this to our thoughts. Reveal this to our hearts, our minds. Consume us with understanding of the things you've allotted for us. Show us, O God. Show us, O God. Show us, O God. Show us, O God. Thank you, Lord. Father, I ask that you show us.
Amen.
Show us our inheritance.
Amen.
Show us the pleasant places you've appointed for us.
Amen.
Deliver us from blindness.
Amen.
Open our eyes to see your promises, O God. Thank you, Lord God. Verse 7, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. God wants to speak to you even at night, day and night. He wants to be instructing you. How? The Bible tells you in Job 33 from verse 14 that God speaks to man in a vision, in a dream. Unfortunately, he adds there and they do not understand. They don't perceive it. Many times he speaks. He says he counsels them. He instructs them. He says he seals up instruction in them. He stamps in instruction while you are sleeping. He said he terrifies them with dreams. So you have that dream. Many have had here. How many of you in the last year or so, you've had dreams and seen, and it seems the earth, strange things. It's like movie stuff. There's dystopia everywhere. People, there's no houses. There's strange. Raise your hands. You've seen this thing. And you're like, what is this? That is God grabbing your attention, telling you, child, these things will come upon your earth. Now, what should you do? The Bible says he does it to save you from the pit. So at least you know, if this thing I'm seeing will come to pass, what kind of person should I be in preparation? What kind of person do I want to be in preparation for the most massive spiritual battles that the earth may see? What kind of person do I want to be? I want to be the type that wakes up in the morning and God says, today, this is what you do. And this is where you go. You don't go here, you go here. You do this, you do that. Call this person, these three people. 1, 2, 3, 4. Tell them not to leave their houses today. Or tell them to all come to this place. Or gather here. Or do this, or do that. I want to be that kind of person. I want to be so led by the Lord that when I open my mouth, none of my words fall to the ground. You know that if I speak to you, God has spoken to you. I want to be someone that can tell my family because they've observed my life. Blameless. And you can tell them, mommy, daddy, this is what I'm saying. And because in the past, what you say stands, and you are a reasonable child, you're a correct child, they take you very seriously. I don't want to be a clown that nobody takes seriously. And when the day comes, you want them to take you seriously, nobody takes you seriously. You must prepare for these things. So these are two prayer points you're going to do. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. 30 seconds. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you for the things we've been telling you. Oh, I bless you, Lord. Thank you for the things you've been telling us. I bless your name. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your instruction. Thank you for your counsel. Thank you, I give you praise. I honor you. I exalt you. You are very kind. You are wonderful. You are a good God. I don't deserve the least of your mercies, but you constantly give us grace. Be thou exalted and glorified. In the name of Jesus. The second half, even at night, my heart instructs me. Tell the Lord, even in the dark seasons, whatever I go through, even when I lie down to sleep physically, let your words continue to come. Let the dreams keep coming. Let the truth come. Give me instructions. Prepare me. Prepare me. Prepare me. Prepare me, Lord God. Instruct me. Oh my God. Instruct me with truth and life and light. Instruct us, oh God. Karibashata taliga sata, repasota liga inda bradu satelanga.
Ekrapatali gasundra diaradaka. Rapratala gai garaba subra gedaya kuruburubaraba. Ruprada sada dada karabarabaraba kadiaraba. Lekrumbra diraka shimbra di gazindra gedepa. Rekrobo shimbra di suda yandarabaraba. Thank you, Lord God. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. I focus on the Lord. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. With him at your right hand, you shall not be shaken. Other than that, you will be shaken. If your eyes are not constantly looking at Jesus, not I'm looking to Jesus to save me. Yes. But you're also looking at Jesus as the example. How did he manage when he was going through tough times? Says he endured the contradiction of evil men. So if you keep your eyes on the Lord, whenever you're passing through, whatever you're passing through, you go, but Jesus went through worse. But our Lord, you keep your eyes on the Lord, you will not be shaken. But what happens when your eyes are not on the Lord? You will be shaken. You will go, oh God, what's happening to me? Do you understand this? I want you to pray that God should help you focus your eyes on the Lord continually. Lord, help me keep my eyes on you. When my eyes turn to the left and to the right, looking at others, comparing myself to others, I will keep my eyes on the Lord. I desire to see the Lord. May I not compare myself with others. May I not consider what others are experiencing. I keep my eyes on the Lord. I keep my eyes on the Lord. I ask you, my Father, that my eyes will be on you, that my focus will be on you, that my thinking will be on you, that my perception will be from you, that my discernment, my choices will all be from you. I look to you, oh my God. Help me see you, O God, at all times. Amen. Lord, no matter what is in front of us, what is around us, what is happening, though a troop surround us, we will not be shaken because our eyes are on you. Everything that pulls my eyes away from you, I renounce it. Amen. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. He will not let his faithful one see decay. Decay, deterioration, spoilage, things going backwards. This will not happen if we will stay focused on the Lord. If we keep, as he said, I'll make known to you. He'll make known to me the path of life. If you're faithful, what happens? He that endures to the end will be saved. Why will many fall by the wayside? It's not that they didn't start. It's that they did not continue. It is the continuation. That's the difference between those that will make it and those that will not. Those that will come to a place where they can partake. When you hear of persecutions in communist countries, Islamic countries and the rest, you hear of former pastors. We've heard stories of former pastors exposing his members, being given a gun to shoot his own members dead because they refused to deny Jesus. Pastors. It is possible for people to do the most terrible things simply because they have not been willing to make these choices we are praying about. These are choices. These are not events, things that sweep us away. These are decisions and commitments you make and things you say long before the time for it to be tested, so that when the test comes, you survive the test. You don't have to be an old Christian for this to be so. You may have gotten born again yesterday. And you'd say, you know what? This God
like Ruth. I'm going to follow her all the days of my life. I'm going to pursue after this God till I die. The prayer is, make known to me the path of life. What will happen when that you do that? He will fill you with joy in his presence and eternal pleasures at his right hand. Don't ask him for how to get to his right hand. Ask him how to know the path of life, because the path of life leads to his right hand. It leads to pleasures. Are you understanding? The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. Ask the Lord to show you the path to life. Let it be before your eyes. Lord, show me the path of life. My words, they are spirit and they are life. Help me see your words. The path created by your words. The path created by the word of the Lord. The path of life. Help me hear. Help me see. Help me know. Correct me. Reveal to me. Make known to me the path of life. Help me pursue the path of life. Help me walk on the paths of life. Let me leave the realms of the dead. I disassociate from the paths of death. I refuse and reject the paths of darkness. The paths of life are my portion in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lift your hands. Let's pray together. Hear me, Lord. No. Don't repeat. Just say amen when necessary. Don't shout the amen. Don't drag it. Just say it from the heart. I'm praying from Psalm 17. Hear us, Lord. Our plea is just. Listen to our cry. Hear our prayer.
Amen.
It does not rise from deceitful lips. Let our vindication come from you.
Amen.
May your eyes see what is right.
Amen.
Though you probe our hearts, though you examine us at night and test us, you will find that we have planned no evil.
Amen.
Our mouth has not transgressed. Though people try to bribe us, use money to draw us, we have kept ourselves from the ways of the violent through what your lips have commanded. We've sought to obey you rather than go with gain. Our steps have held to your paths. Our feet have not stumbled. We call on you, our God, for you will answer us. Turn your ear to us and hear our prayer.
Amen.
Turn your ear to us and hear our prayer.
Amen.
Show us the wonders of your great love.
Amen.
You who save by your right hand those who take refuge in you from their enemies. Show us the wonders of your great love.
Amen.
Keep us as the apple of your eye.
Amen.
Hide us in the shadow of your wings. From the wicked who are out to destroy us. From the devil, the wicked one, his agent. Keep us as the apple of your eye.
Amen.
Hide us in the shadow of your wings.
Amen.
From our mortal enemies who surround us. The law of sin and death at work in our body parts. Our mortal enemies that surround us. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Save us from our mortal enemies.
Amen.
That seek to open the door to the devil's accusations being accepted. From the demonic forces that we wrestle against, not flesh and blood. Save us from these truly mortal enemies.
Amen.
For you are the God who gives and with whom dwells immortality. override our mortal enemies.
Amen.
They close up their callous hearts and their mouths speak with arrogance. They have tracked us down. We are hounded by forces, spiritual beings, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. They've tracked us down. They now surround us with eyes alert to throw us to the ground. They are like a lion hungry for prey, like a fierce lion crouching in cover. Rise up, Lord, confront them.
Amen.
Bring them down.
Amen.
With your sword, rescue us from the wicked.
Amen.
From spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, rescue us, O God.
Amen.
By your hand, save us from such people.
Amen.
From such spirits.
Amen.
From such forces.
Amen.
From such beings.
Amen.
From such beasts.
Amen.
Save us from them by your hand.
Amen.
From those of this world whose reward is in this life. Save us from agents of darkness whose reward is in this life. May what you have stored up for the wicked fill their bellies.
Amen.
May their children gorge, stuff themselves on it.
Amen.
And may there be leftovers for their little ones. As for us, we shall be vindicated.
Amen.
And shall see your face.
Amen.
When we are weak, we shall be satisfied.
Amen.
With seeing your likeness.
Amen.
We will be in your likeness.
Amen.
We will look like you.
Amen.
Just bless the Lord. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. He's a faithful God through all generations. For the Lord is good. We bless the Lord, and his love is never fail us. Hey, come on. Lift your voice and say, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Oh,
the Lord is good.
Give him the glory today.
The Lord is good.
Oh, in every way.
The Lord is good.
For the Lord is good, from the top.
For the Lord is good,
and his love endures forever.
And his love endures forever.
He's a faithful God.
He's a faithful God.
To all generations.
To all generations. For the Lord is good.
And his mercies will not fail us.
And his mercies will not fail us.
They are new each day.
They are new each day.
Today. Oh, lift your voice.
Lift your voice and say, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. The Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
The Lord is good.
Faithful and so true.
The Lord.
Praise Jehovah. The goodness of God is such that no matter what you see or experience, at the end of it, this is how you know He's good. At the end of all things, no one will be able to say anything but, "Ah, God, you are good." That's how you know God is good. Because at the end, now, who is the man that walks by faith? He's the one that can believe all these things without seeing it. That's what it means to walk by faith, and why it is impossible to please God except you walk by faith. Without faith, you can't please Him. Without the ability to not see these things and handle these things, but you believe it because He said it. That is what makes you worthy of Him. That's what makes you His special ones. That's what sets you apart. It's presumption, or God's desire, is that the same way you entered by faith, you continue walking in faith, not just for the original thing you trusted Him in, but for every next stage. So you walk in faith of your life. And as you keep trusting Him, the same way you trusted Him to have forgiven you, sit down for a moment, the same way you trust Him to have, the same way you trust Him to have forgiven all your sins and accepted you as His child, never stop trusting Him. That's what it means to walk by faith, not by sight. Believe. Keep believing. Never stop believing. No matter what you go through, no matter your experience, no matter what is happening around you, no matter the pain, sorrow, just make sure you are not responsible for it. Make sure you are not sinful in any way. Whatever you see or experience, have faith in God through all those stages. Just keep trusting Him. Just keep knowing that He knows what is right and that He's working out these things. Remember, we saw yesterday that the one who is sanctifying you and making you blameless is not you. It is our husband. It is the Lord that is sanctifying and making you blameless. It's Him. It's not you. So today, take this as you're going. Take this for all your life. Hold this permanently, that God may allow you to suffer for His sake. He will. You see a woman, wonderful Christian woman, she has not had a child for 8 years. And you're like, why? This is not one of those cases. So she used to have abortions before. You see someone that used to have multiple abortions. They haven't even finished marrying properly. 9 months later, from the day they wedded, she took him. And you're wondering, God, why this, that? You're going round and round. No. That is a suffering your God has allowed you to go through. When it is time for it to end on its own, or you may go somewhere and God will send a messenger to unlock it, to pray a simple prayer. I know thereafter you're going to say, "Ah, it was from the day I met this person that my life changed." Not really. It was time, and that person is one of the gatekeepers with keys. And God brought you to that person. That's why He didn't bring you to that person since. So He took you to that place, and that person unlocked. You started having spiritual experiences. That person unlocked. You started taking in. That person unlocked. You got well. Couldn't God have led you to that person since? It was for a time. Everything you go through, that test, when you go through the tests, receive it. Look for the lesson. Look for the, "God, what are you trying to teach me here?" Instead of crying out, "God, stop it, stop it, make the pain stop," rather ask Him, "What are you trying to teach me? Can you tell me what you want me to learn? If you do this, you will be wise." And the Lord will trust you. You will become trustworthy. Then you'll be able to stand in the counsel of God. You can hear the things that are discussed in the councils of God, where decisions are made. This decree was by the matter was by the decree of the waters.
He didn't say by God. He said, watch us. We can partake with God in heavenly things till we have a small say. At least we can get to receive memos. This is what's been decided, like was told to Daniel. Say, this is what it was revealed to Nebuchadnezzar. You, human being, you can partake. We've had lots of revelatory experiences and prophetic experiences. We thank God for it. But long ago, God had said that should be upgraded. We've had amazing experiences. I remember 3-4 years ago, praying, you know, for some people, and the Lord beginning to tell people, come, you know, and there'd be meetings. These things have been seen about different ones, and you're taken in, and when meetings are held, you're brought in, heavenly meetings, and you're allowed to sit in on things, to hear things. It can come as a message, as a teaching, as a message, can come as a prophetic word written out. All those things are, that's just the beginnings of what God wants to do. That you can hear, that Daniel could hear and see what he saw. I thought we claimed to have the Jesus, so we should have much more. Be able to be taken up. We have had some. I'm not saying we've had none. We've had a lot of amazing, but I'm saying it can be multiplied by 100. And I expect it to be. Like the angel will come to John and say, come. And show him things. Increasingly, the angels of the Lord. Imagine if God has been able to do what he has done for us and with us in such a tattered situation. Can you imagine what he can do when we are holy and blameless? Can you imagine for a second what God can do? Whatever you are rejoicing about, or you think, I feel so worthless. I feel so, I still stumble like this, I stumble like that. I'm saying if God has been able to do what he has done with such pathetic children, what do you think he can do with mature children? Do you want to think with me? What do you think? How many of you have had God tell you something and you couldn't understand how you could be told such things? Like, your name is synonymous with them. I read some of those words. I know you're unworthy. Even me, I know you're unworthy. Rather than just be happy that God tells you, consider. Can you consider that thing lasted for experience that lasted for 10 years? Jacob, and I saw Enoch, and they said to me, take that. Multiply it by whatever you're thinking. Some of those experiences would have not been visions. You would have been there. You're not hearing me. They had to show you the film of it, the recording. You watch it like on a spiritual TV. If you were properly behaved, you would have been taken there. You would have been taken with your body. You would have been saying things like, I don't think, whether in body, out of body, that's what you would have been saying. But because you know how far. Nobody, there's nothing like, I don't know if I was in my body or not. You know you were not in your body. You know. So they showed you the film of it, a clip. Things that may have lasted for 3 hours or 3 days, they had to take you for 3 minutes. All of this must stop. Let us become holy and blameless people so we can leave this earth realm and do every, you know, some of you, you're called to be prophets. I don't mean prophetic gift, I mean prophets. And when are you planning to grow up? You must come to the place where calmly the Lord shows up and says, come, you're in your room. You're seeing and I'm telling you it will happen, but that's grow up already. You're delaying things. If you don't believe him, when you go back, kneel down and pray. Ask God to show you the percentage of the things you have delayed. Write it down. Write it. Write it. So you don't say, pastor is just trying to motivate us. I'm not a motivator. I'm waiting. Oh, what are you writing? Lord, please show me the percentage of things I've delayed, held up, that I'm a roadblock in front of in my life. The thing. So whatever you've experienced, show me over 10 or over 100. Lord, give me an idea, please. Hint me by your spirit. You may hear a number. Some of you, even as I'm talking, you'll hear like a number. You'll hear 7. Just pray it's not 7 over 100. Because you may presume it's over 10. Meanwhile, it's over 100. So it's over 100. You should ask. So you're not confused. Just that some of you don't understand percentages. It's not the mark you have. It's the things you have held up. The things you have slowed down. God would have showed you 70, 80, 95% more. He has shown you 5%, 2%. Why? Because you won't live right. We walk around packing trash, filling our hands with trash. Where should he put his gold and silver and precious stones when your hands are full of trash? People get confused. You know your life is not okay. And you know God keeps dropping nuggets from heaven into your hand. Why? Because you're his child and he loves you. I've told you, never presume that means you're okay. And on the flip side also, don't sit up. It is time to be mature. When we are giving testimony, we have to stop sending prophetic words. You know, I saw. Some of you, that's how you're to see. Some of you, long, should have stopped. Should have, since. When I started saying some of this, I can't remember which year it was. I told you. Since. Not the faint one that we are not sure of. The one that you're sure. An angel walked into my room. He was this height. Not that you're closing your eyes. It's not that you're in a vision. You could touch him. He touched you. The mark is still on your cheek. When he touched you, see this red place. It has been red like this for 7 days. This day, see this way. He took his finger. He touched me. He said, receive cleansing. That kind. Some of you had to have the sins. And for what? For what? Is this making you feel guilty? It's making you feel bad. Whatever works for you. You better do something about it. Cannot be rejoicing over eating dry bread when there was roasted turkey. I ate. What do you eat? 3 rolls. It was dry, so I bet. Ate it. What anchor? There was small water left. I just drank it. I've been blessed. I'm saying my quarrel is what kind of blessing is that? Don't be blessed like that anymore. The time is up. Stop being blessed like that. Cannot have. There was roasted chicken. You didn't enter the other room. Pow! Tea tables of every kind of food. You ate dry bread. You came out. And at least I'm better than other people that have no bread at all. It's time to stop being better like that. It is time to enjoy the bounty of God's goodness. Now, some of this is going to happen faster than you think. So brace yourself. Brace yourself. In my expressions of challenge and disappointment, at the same time, I'm telling you to get ready. Get ready for the angel to one say, come, and he holds you and you feel him hold you. It's not vision. Boom, and you are gone. And you are in another country physically. You pick a stone and come back with it. I came back. This thing is not from Nigeria. Since. So, you have all kinds of assignments in the last days, and we live like ordinary people. Except money. Can't focus. Even at school, they go to school. If it's time to get a job, get a job. Whatever it is time to do, do it. But let none of it mean anything. May all your goodness be found in God. And anything that stands between you and this love, tell it, you know what? You are trash. I count all things but rubbish, dung, for the sake of the knowledge of God, that I might know him It's time to know God. It's time to mature. It's time to grow up. It's a time to look at sin and sinful behavior and sinful people and tell, you know, I don't do that. Step away from me. If you come, I will punch you in the nose. If you ever say that to me again, I will punch you in the nose. Devil. And the person used to be your best friend. Don't play with sin. The holy of the land should be your delight. Brother, are you free? Let's pray a little together now. I have 30 minutes. Let's pray. And you go outside, 5 minutes. You kneel down. Father God, we come to you. We just want to ask a few things about your plans for our life. It's not an official prayer meeting. You just happen to be free for some minutes. You started. You thought it would last for 10 minutes. You open your eyes later. You look at the clock. You can't understand. I don't understand. It was 8 o'clock. Is this clock good? Because it's past 1 p.m. But you're not looking at the clock too much because where you have been, you're opening your eyes. You're looking at each other and did you see? You say yes. And you were both together somewhere. And you say, don't talk. Write it out. And you both start writing. And you compare notes. And you know you were together. And see. Satan, our enemy, has made sure that Christians, you remember all those visions we saw, 2:18? Christians, this size. Satan's army mature, ready, lined up, and black spirits came behind them and plugged in. Fum. And they are ready like that, mature wickedness. Then Christians, a big, small children, small tata looking, and there were these white spirits behind them. And the Lord went like, I'll use you like that. Is it a sin for us to grow up? We have to quarrel with immaturity. Let anybody think what they want to think about you. What do you think? How many of you agree with me? Let's grow up. Me, I'm growing up. I want to grow up. Whatever funny thought you have about my maturity, that's your problem. Ask me how old you think I am in the spirit. I think I'm around 15. Completely unacceptable to me. 14, 15. In fact, 13. Age range. Oh, sorry for those that thought you were 25. Sorry, I apologize. Don't use me. You may be 25. Don't worry. You may be. Sorry. I mean you. I'm not talking about myself. Don't assess me for me. I don't know it really. God knows. But I'm saying, in my thinking, I want to mature. We must be mature. We are not talking about sin. We are talking about maturity. We grow up and have peace in our God. What happens when you're walking in peace with God and man? You're undistracted. What happens when you're free of the love of this world and the things in it? You are undistracted. Then the Lord can do many, many things. You can be as busy as Daniel. Daniel was the overseer of all the kingdoms of the Medo-Persia. Do you realize how busy Daniel was in the midst of that? Daniel, come, there's something. And you lay out the end of the age for him. Kingdoms with names. Oh, you guys, we have never gone through what Daniel saw. Have you read where it says, and the daughter of the south, king of the south? Have you read those things? He described in perfect detail what happened in the Greek kingdom before any of it happened. Many fake Bible scholars have said the book is a fraud. The problem is that the book is quoted from the past, so they are not able to explain that. The details he gave of how this king will enter an alliance with king. He's talking about Ptolemy, talking about Berenice, talking about people that had never been born. He's describing how this one will give his daughter to be married, all in the book of Daniel. The specificity is out of this world. And they don't even call Daniel a prophet. Just by the way, just small gist. You've never heard prophet. When they mention the prophet, they don't call him a prophet. The guy had words, and he was a high-level government official. What has your calling to do with anything?
If God puts you somewhere, he knows why he puts you there. Just be led by him. Be where he says you should be. And let none of it tamper with your reason for existing. Our God is a good God. He has chosen you in this time. That your ears are hearing this thing alone should tell you that already there's something that's riding on you. How can you be so totally Esau-ish? So completely foolish that you can give away this birthright for a plate of beans? How? I've told you Esau was not weak. Esau was not falling. Esau was not dying. Esau walked into that tent on his feet. He was not carried in. They didn't find his body in the field. Esau had a mother. She had food. Esau was totally indisciplined and despised spiritual things. He said, of what use is the birthright if I'm going to die? I beg, put that food for me. Went to his brother's tent and begged for food. Your brother said, give me your birthright for food. You agree. How? God looked and said, gee, Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. Yeah. Being so totally unspiritual, being so allergic to that which matters, and being so attracted to that which is of no consequence, that you poop out. Why? No. May you not sacrifice your inheritance for things that can be pooped out, that can be converted to poop. May you keep your eyes on what matters. May you receive grace continually from the Lord to keep your eyes on what matters. And may all of us be our brother's keepers. May we stop feeling bad about people noticing that we are different. That wicked spirit that stops us from doing what we should do and says, no, don't do like that. People will notice that you're acting differently. What kind of wicked spirit is that? Did you care when you had admission into university? Did you care about looking different? When you started dressing up every day and going to class, didn't you want everybody to know you are different? You're not answering me. Were you happy to leave the house and they said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to university. Yes, I have admission. Were you happy to flaunt it? Were you hoping people on your street will see as you're passing, heading to class? Why in God's world are you embarrassed about graduating or growing up in the things of God and trying to say, no, I'm trying to not appear as if. When God is making you do something new, why are you struggling with doing something new, even though God is pushing you in a new way? I'm not talking about faking it. I'm saying that when God begins to push you to behave a new way, stop apologizing and don't hide it. Don't hide what God has begun. You're being pushed. You're feeling a pressure. You used to read your Bible morning devotions, but now you feel like reading in between more and more and more. You feel like praying more and more. This spirit of prayer keeps coming on you. You don't try to be normal because you normally hung out and chatted with her as you're passing, you know, her place in the office. You sit down, chat small, all that. She will feel bad. So, at best, just explain, sorry, I'm always passing now. God has been calling me to the secret place a lot. You can tell her that. What's wrong with telling her that? Just tell her. Whether she agrees or not, that's her problem. Do not demote yourself when God is promoting you. This is a season of promotion. It's a season of lifting. He's lifting up your head. He's lifting you up. Don't let the devil first tell you anything. Leave that thing. Can you be lifted after what you did? How can the words of Satan be more powerful than the blood of Jesus? If Jesus has forgiven you, the Bible says God is greater than your heart and knows all things. So if your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. Even your heart, God is greater than him. Go and read 1 John 3. So have peace. Receive forgiveness where you've erred. I am informing everyone here that it's a time of the lifting up of your head. Where your head has been bowed, the Lord is saying, lift up your head and hold it there. Don't walk around in shame. Walk around in the confidence that God gives. Use that. Don't stop. If you seem to fall, the enemies, they try to push you on the ground. A righteous man may fall 7 times, but he rises again. That's what makes him righteous, that he rises. That he never, I will never be a pig. I will never stay in the mud. I cannot. I am stupid. I know it. I can't stay here. I have erred yet again. I have stumbled. I can't believe myself. Then don't be defiant, because God will keep sending help to you. If you are amongst the holy, the righteous of the land, when you are about to err, long before, I've seen it so many times, you'll be warned, you'll be told. I've seen words from 2 years before, 3, where people's names were mentioned, of them turning their back on the Lord. When they fulfill it, it's always astonishing. Sometimes, because at the time the word came, you couldn't believe they would do it. Like, no, no, it cannot happen. When those words are shared with you, take it and say, God, is there anything impossible with you? May this never come. I've told you, there's no negative word that must come to pass. You can overcome it. That's what you should use your faith for. Say, God, no, sir. No, Lord, no, I do not want to. If it is a matter, Peter, you will. Because Peter was full of pride with his sword. And he said, I will never deny you. Say, even if everybody else denies you, I will not. I'll follow you to prison, even death. See, that was pride talking. That's not God confidence. That's self-confidence. And it will fail you. A lot of your stumbling and foolishness is to destroy that self-confidence you have. Now that you know you are sufficient. Who still doubts their foolishness here? An inclination to just be nonsensical. If you still struggle with things like that, you're the ones that fall. I told you how to avoid it. 2016, something. I told you. Did I tell you how to avoid falling? Sit on the ground. Did I tell you sit on the ground that you can't fall from the ground? It's all this sitting on chairs. It's sitting on high things. It's lifting yourself. That's why you fall. You're lifted. Stay low. You can't fall from the ground. If you're sitting on the ground, lying down on the ground, you can't fall. He that is low need fear no fall. Stay low. But you came. No, don't worry. Nothing will happen. You lift yourself. No, don't worry. I'm on top of the situation. No, don't worry. Don't. And now, have you not discovered that there was reason to worry? You should have believed me. But now that you have added your experience to my words, the two should be in agreement. If you have not found out, never find out. You regret it. Ask the people that have fallen. They regret it. You regret it deeply. Some you still be regretting 10 years from now. You still be in pain. A little here, like a scar. Say, this is the place this happened to me. The pain is no more there, but the scar is there. You don't need those scars. You don't need them. Trust God that you are foolish and insufficient and unworthy. And trust Him to be able to keep you. Amen? You have a question? Where's the microphone? You know, I'd want to take questions, but I want us to be out before 10.
So, this from Thursday, we're having the intercessors, general intercessors meeting for those that are part of the house, general house. And we had some prayer points to pray about. And it's somehow the Holy Spirit led us in a whole different direction to pray for intercessors, more of like for ourselves and for people out there that are called to pray. And it started from that, and it was going towards a trail that was very interesting. And it's about most of the things Pastor has been speaking about. And why I'm sharing this, because I was hoping we can also, in a sense, maybe get to pray about it or repent generally, and Pastor can just throw out the word of prayer. Because one of the things that was seen eventually, apart from people sitting up, being more faithful, discipline, learning to be, take those times seriously, acting like Sabbath, creating Sabbath, the whole thing, like with Daniel, has been an emphasis. If Daniel was really busy and he could have those Sabbaths, how much more, what's our excuse? And And it was seen like angels coming. So this whole season of angels coming, a lot of them with messages and all of that. And they were held back. The understanding I received was like demons from like our battles, experiences, because of not paying attention enough towards this maturing angle. So it's like the demons that we had danced with had, it seemed like a gang up with principalities type thing, and we're holding back these angels. So more of like they were released for us, but when they would come and we would not receive them. So that hanging around process gets them captured. So I was seeing angels in cages. Those that were online at some point, I didn't even share this part with them much, but I remember the latter part, it was quite strong. And asking God to release them from and help us be faithful. I mean, for me, so it was that night I had stumbled on that video you saw this morning, same video of Tomi Arayomi. I just went online randomly, and that's the first video that came up about angels being released and us having to learn to work with the ministry of the angels. And that same night, remember sensing a very strong presence in my room. It was so strong. This whole, again, it was like this veil, that whole thing about having to, for me, it was a matter of faithfulness in prayer and study. And it was like, it was so strong. I could see it form in, I was strange. So again, there was the whole thing about not mistaking strange creatures for demons. Again, based on this whole experiences from being like assuming many things, because it was a very strange creature. I can't even begin to describe it, but I knew it was an angel. And I was doing a lot of repenting that night for and have adjustments to my life, especially with this whole thing of timetable. So it was like God was looking back to the patterns, timetable, reports, daily, all those things, and how he was supposed to build something in us that would have created this effectiveness. So for me, it's a form of repentance for caging the things that God has sent to us and asking God to help us walk in this. We've read that part, but the other parts of the...
All right. Now, of course, if I know you guys are mostly not around, but I talked about this thing about angels being captured on Sunday. Yes, on Sunday, I preached about it again. If you don't know about the concept, you're new, get the message from Sunday and listen to it. And the older messages. Most of what I say these days, I don't say that much because I've already shared on it thoroughly in past years. If you're a visitor, you're not on any of the groups, or you don't have a smartphone, you haven't given your number, I'd say they should post anew. That's what's that message? Spiritual warfare in heavenly places or something like that. That confession of that former Satanist and all that. So the whole concept. So it's interesting to hear that on Thursday they had these things. You should take that as a confirmation. There are many other things God has been saying, but I told you, don't do things because you hear stories and visions. Once I show it to you in the Bible, it's enough. It's enough. Now, prophecy helps, but the prophecy of Scripture, a more sure word of prophecy is here. Remember, in that fellow's story, he said that people's angels were often captured because the angel's armor was equivalent to your armor. So our armor must be complete. You must have hope. When you lose hope, you've taken away your angel's helmet too. When you lose, you're not living righteously. You're doing unrighteous things. You've taken away breastplate. When you're telling lies and listening to lies, still dancing around, listening to messages that have been proven to be false, listening to preachers that teach falsehood, even though they don't know it's falsehood, but you know it's falsehood because of the extensive study you have read. You lose your belt. You know what happens to a human being whose belt is off? Everything is falling apart. Listening to lies. The devil is talking, you're listening. You're sitting there in corners and saying, maybe, how do you even know? Maybe talking nonsense, listening to lies. You're disrobing. All those things. Before you ask endless questions about why this, why that. Why is because you don't have armor. The Bible tells you how we wrestle against these forces I spoke about. It says, put on the whole armor of God. Not some. The whole armor of God. Then he said, pray with all kinds of prayer. That's part of the armor. So that's it in Ephesians 6. When you do what it says in Ephesians 6 from verse 10, when you are equipped like that, you can even start from verse 1. Husbands, wives, children, obey your parents, workers, submit this. And then it says, put on the whole armor of God. Every act of obedience puts armor on you. So when the devil begins to hit, when all these things come on the earth, you'll be impermeable. You'll be unshakable. Nothing can touch you because you're covered. God will never abandon us, and he has provided everything that we need for life and godliness. Now, take them up. Make it your priority. Seek assistance. Have oversight. Talk to your shepherds. Seek assistance. Be your brother's keeper and allow your brother to keep you too. To guard you, to be a keeper. Guard your brother, guard your sister. Care. Let your heart burn. Love them. Do unto others as you want done for you. As God sees you doing for others, he will give, even if there's nobody that is doing it for you, God will do it for you. Because you're doing it for others. To the merciful, he shows himself merciful. To the blameless, he shows himself blameless. To the pure, he shows himself pure. So do to your brethren. Even if your brethren don't seem to see it and reward you, God will show himself to you in that way. Is this clear? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He will exalt you in due season. You have any cares, cast it upon him, because he cares for you. Have no excuse to err. I'm not discussing sin that much now. You should know about sin enough. I'm discussing the importance of maturity. What you eat, who you hang out with, who you emulate, who you copy, who is your role model, that's what will help you mature. You can see a small child that acts maturely because of who they watch, who they listen to, the kind of discussions they sit in on. Grown-ups talk and say things and they say, what is the meaning of emulate like that? That child will mature faster. When you see another child that is not exposed to anything much. Yesterday, as we're coming back from our sister's father's burial in Esienudim on the road, I was on a call though, or something. Someone was talking, so I didn't comment on it aloud. But I don't know if the people with me, you notice the small boy on the side of the road. This small, with his bag coming from school. And you could see a long stretch of road. And he's walking alone. And when the car was coming from far, he really shifted and stood by the side and kept walking. And you're like, how can this small boy be left to go home alone? But that's what happens usually with the poor and all that. Can't afford the luxury. His mother may be running a shop or in the farm or something. Can't afford the luxury. So after they've taken him once or twice, they say, when you're done, come home, eh? To this small boy that nobody in town. Well, some, you see them in town, some. Small, and you're wondering. And you think about some of your own lives. You were sheltered till you were double or triple that age. You were covered, sheltered. And I was thinking about how that boy's mind and brain is going to be so much more mature in certain things than his counterpart, who is like a baby, who is 12 years old, 15 years old, and cannot move from here to buy something there. They'll call the housemaid and send. While this small boy that looks like he's 4, 3, I saw another one, 2 to 3. 3, carrying, he picked a chair. So he's sitting up, he was carrying a chair like this. And going to some, to deliver it. These are people that any normal person, they'll be carrying them or holding their hand, saying you're so small. But life, so when God pushes you out, allows you to have experience, he's trying to mature you, trying to make you grow up and be capable. I'll end with this quick story. You've read The Touch and the Sword, where there was that young girl that looked like she was about how old? 12. And she was a prayer warrior. And in that vision, the servant of God there, Rick Joyner, was pitying her. Hey, poor girl. She does not, her mates are playing with dolls and all that. And she's a prayer warrior. And he was rebuked very strongly. What do you mean? The point is, in the age to come, you can play with life-size dolls. You can have a dollhouse. You can do all sorts of stunts. But now, that girl is called to be a prayer, and she's a warrior from childhood. We are going to have prophets that are very young. I don't mean that they are prophetic. I mean they are prophets. They deliver messages. They are 10 years old, 13 years old. They have messages from, because they spend time with the Lord. In their rooms, they are with the Lord. They deliver messages. They come and say, the Lord said I should tell you. They say, excuse me, sir. They write out something. They say, excuse me, please, it's for. Full messages, complete downloads. May God not jump us. May God not jump us. Father, I thank you. As are you bless us by showing us mercy. Forgive us for holding back our angels. Forgive us for not receiving the messages sent to us. Forgive us for being childish. Let the angels come. Let the messages come. We renounce sinfulness. We renounce sin. Say, I renounce the things that hold back God's messengers. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. Father, I ask that you bless us as we go. Bless every gift given, every offering, every vow, every percentage set aside to honor your name. I ask that you cause it to multiply. I ask that you give favor to all in this place. Favor us with your presence. With your power and your authority, with your grace like never before, with a spirit of prayer and supplication. Let the joy of the Lord be our strength. Let us spread it like perfume wherever we go. Let us be bright lights in a dark world. Let us walk with the mature, in body and in spirit. Let us tread the heavenly places. Let us walk upon the high places. Give us the feet of hinds. Break the power of immaturity. Help us remember as we go through our experiences. Help us strengthen our brothers and sisters. Help us be an encouragement, for two are better than one. Send us encouragement. Let the angels come through and minister to us, O God. Thank you. Blessed be your name. Amen. 3. That you should have learned. Mature people. Grown-ups, you begin to learn. You understand how things work. You're not a robot. Stand up. Sit down. Do this. Do that. No. Maturity makes you do what you have learned
from observation, from experience, from instruction. Is this clear? So ensure that if it, whether anything is said about offerings or not, understand why you give. Understand how you give. Oh, you don't talk about tithe. I told you years ago. The Bible tells you set aside, purpose in your heart. Let every man give as he has purposed in his heart. So tell yourself, this is the income I get weekly or monthly. This is how much I'm going to be giving. Purpose in your heart. It's better you are consistent and it's not much than you're inconsistent and all over the place. Once in a while, you drop a bomb and then you say, oh, wow, I've done so well with myself. You might be deceived. The best way to give, I know, based on your income, is a percentage. That's the better way. I'm going to give 20%. I'm going to give 30%. This is my income. I'm going to give 10%. I'm going to give 10% or 12%. If you have a fixed income, if you have an erratic income, you say, I'll give a percentage of all my earnings, my profits. This is how I will do it. It's that act of purposing that God usually honors. It's a sign of honor to God. What's bad is there being no purpose and no giving where you are saying, no, God knows, I never, you find out, we know, that you will never have. That's what happens to those who always plan to. So just tell yourself, rather, you know, I have a widow's mite. Give your widow's mite. Because even in that area, the devil has accused people. I think I said it last weekend or so. I don't want to pass on people that the devil has all these rights on your life. And I told you, if you're not careful, we'll be feeding you when you have children. Because you planted nothing. You don't understand. It's a sign of trust in God. So make sure you live like someone that trusts in God. Stop waiting for someone to tell you exact things to do. It doesn't work like that here. No levy, nothing. There's nothing that works like that. Have on this, if you haven't heard, ask for at least there are a few messages on giving. And listen to them where we read the Bible, where we show you from scriptures. Be convinced and then do. All right? So if you have an offering, God bless you. I've prayed for it. God multiply it and all that. But make sure you live with on the side. Don't be waiting for things to be said on your own. Ah, you're at work, you're at home. You got income coming. Don't you know what the Bible says? Let him that is taught share with him that teaches in all good things. Galatians, no scripture. Then act accordingly. Don't wait for any motivation. Every single time people are motivated and I see them responding, I make an announcement, I talk about an offering 3 years ago for like this. I'll talk about an offering. Explain that day people will give well. Then other times they'll not be. I used to be very, I was shocked because I thought you understood. And even though I'm not pumping you or doing any sort of that, I wondered, why is it? I found out it happened about 2-3 times. And I realized, on the days you explain, they give more. To be frank, I was disappointed. Then I started saying, okay, wow, they are much more immature than I knew. Mature people don't operate like that. You're stable. You commit yourself. And there are many that are stable in their giving. But I think there are some you don't know what to do, and it's for your sake I'm saying these things. Okay? God bless you.
We pray you receive eyes to see, ears to hear, and an understanding heart. Remember, test all things and hold fast to what is good. For more information, visit our website at gods-lighthouse.org.